What is your image of Jesus? Interesting question. Maybe, like me, you were brought up with Bible stories and sermons and reading the Bible and so on and so forth, and you pick up certain images. He's a kindly, gentle man. Mm-hmm. He's a good teacher. He prays for healing very effectively. He thinks children are important. He treats women with respect, which in those days was quite something. He came to a very sad end, but was seen soon after death, but then he looked very similar to what he looked like before. Now, I don't know whether that sums up your images of Jesus, but I suspect that a lot of people, perhaps all of us to some extent, that's the way we tend to think of Jesus a lot of the time. But in the Transfiguration, which is what our second reading was talking about, Jesus being glorified, we can have a glimpse into eternity. We can see beyond all those things are true, but there's another aspect to the whole thing. If we're seeing Jesus just this kind of gentle man, this teacher, this healer, this respecter of children and women and so on, if it's only that, then we're actually missing out very deeply. And it says in that second reading that we had that as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Why on earth did the gospel writer talk about his face and then about his clothes? I actually think that was because his face was so awesome when this happened that the disciples looked down. They couldn't, as it were, look him in the face. It was so glorious what they saw. And so they dropped their eyes, so to speak, and saw his clothes. And they were described as bright as a flash of lightning, even his clothes, let alone his facial appearance. If his clothing was glorious, how much more his face? They had a glimpse into what Jesus is really like. Yes, he is all those other things as well, because he laid aside his glory. Do you want another technical term? We've had transfiguration. Have incarnation. the infleshing of the Son of God. He laid aside his glory. He didn't give it up. He still had it, but he laid it aside is the picture that's given. And so he didn't normally, apart from on this occasion, manifest this wonderful, glorious appearance. But that is what Jesus is really like. He is more than that list of things that I said. Thank God he's those as well, but he's much more than that. We might go on, some of us were looking at this the other day, to Revelation chapter 1, where John had a vision of someone like a son of man, he's talking about Jesus, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. Then he says, the hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. And that may be speaking to some extent of his wisdom. It's, bear in mind, there's a lot of symbolical language in Revelation. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. We can appreciate the last bit quite a lot of this winter, can't we? We've seen the rushing of water. I've become much more impressed with water and its power this winter than I ever have been before, because I've seen where we went to High Force, for example, and saw the huge waterfall coming down. And we were standing, I don't know how far away, almost as far away as the back pew, and we were still getting a spray. And the power of the water. And this is an analogy, but here is John saying his voice was like High Force. His voice was like the great powerful waters. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. Now this is what Jesus is like. When we see him, we won't see him as just the man of Galilee. We will see him in his glory. The disciples were given the opportunity, very special opportunity, to see him during their lifetimes in that way. So we need to think about that. How great is your Jesus, if I may put it that way? How great is your image of Jesus, to put it more accurately? If we're still thinking of him as only those things I listed, wonderful though they are, then we're missing out on something which the transfiguration, which we celebrate today, is reminding us. And John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. When we meet Jesus, what do you expect you're going to do? Put your hand out and shake hands with him in a truly British way? No, we'll fall at his feet. I've often used the term, I was thinking about this yesterday, that we'll stand before him in judgment, but I think maybe we'll fall on our faces before him in judgment. And so standing perhaps isn't the correct term. Do you remember, and this was mentioned in Corinthians, that Moses would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. What does that mean? Well, when Moses went up Mount Sinai and he received the law and so on, and he had a vision of God, then he came down the mountain and Moses' face was so bright, a sort of small version of what happened to Jesus, that he had to cover his face because people were really afraid, really worried. And that was just a reflection of the glory of God he'd seen on the mountain, and he brought it down with him, so to speak, back to the people. So we can have a glimpse into eternity. Do not have just a little picture of Jesus. Do not have just a Bible storybook picture of Jesus. I'm not saying it's not true and not valuable. It is, fine. But it's much more than that. If we were to see him now, if we were to have a transfiguration now, you wouldn't just be sitting on hard pews, you'd be lying on a hard floor. And so would I, before him, in glory. And his face will be like the sun which is streaming through now, the window. And you wouldn't be able to almost look at it because it's so bright, like looking at the sun. And this is the glory of Jesus, the transfigured glory. But there's another point before I finish, and that's this. And we can enjoy a sure hope of what's going to happen to us. If we are trusting in Jesus, if we've asked Jesus into our lives, if he is with us morning, noon and night, not talking about religion now, I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus. If we have that personal relationship with Jesus, if he is close to us, if we love him and trust him and try and obey him, then we'll have an experience like Moses and Elijah did that day. It says here, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. You know, when we are in glory, when we get to heaven, which all those who trust in Jesus will do, it's sure and certain, then it won't just be that the wrinkles will have gone. You counted your wrinkles lately, looked in the mirror, oh boy, I've got another one. It won't just be that the signs of aging have gone. It won't just be that weakness and sickness has gone, and of course death has gone as well. All those things are true, wonderful. But we will be glorified. We'll be a glorified congregation. If we were like that now, we could switch the lights off, even at night, because we'd brighten the whole place up simply by our appearance. And we all, says the Bible, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I'm looking forward to being glorified, are you? It sounds a bit bad, doesn't it? But you know what I mean. I don't mean glorified in the sense of, in a human sense, which is quite wrong. But being there with Jesus in glory, and sharing in his glory, and seeing you share in his glory as well. What a glorious company we're going to be. And I'm really looking forward to that. And remember, we shall all fall on our faces before this glorious Lord. Now, what does this mean for us now? That's what it's going to mean. Moses and Elijah had died long since, and they appeared and were sharing the glory of the Lord. But we need to ask ourselves some very solemn questions. What sinful attitudes or actions are we entertaining in our lives? I'll ask myself the question. You ask yourself the question as well. What are we tolerating in our lives which is wrong? Thoughts, words, deeds, which we know are wrong. If we have this glorious Lord, and we do, not just the man of Galilee, but the glorious Lord, it's almost difficult to look at him because he's so glorious. We'd fall at his feet. Then are there attitudes, thoughts, actions, lack of actions, that are not glorifying him? We need now, maybe not to fall before him on our faces, but at least to bow before him, literally or metaphorically, and ask the Lord to deal with those things. We should not allow those areas of darkness to remain in our lives. Some of them will go quickly, some of them we need to keep knocking them on the head. That's the experience we all have. But what sinful attitudes and actions are we entertaining in our lives? Secondly, what half-hearted commitment are we allowing in our lives? I'm not getting at you, don't misunderstand me, but I think we need to ask ourselves the question. Is there a lack of commitment to God's will? Are we willing to speak out about our faith? Might be nervous about it, might not know quite what to say. Are we willing to speak out about our faith to other people and risk being rejected? Or do we want to live a safe life? Well, if we have a glorious Lord who not only was glorious but actually went through that terrible, terrible suffering and cross for us, then surely we want to deal with that. Are we all out for Jesus? That's what we need to be. All out for Jesus. We are not a huge congregation, in case you hadn't noticed. But where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is there in the midst. So we're certainly more than qualified this morning. But what he needs is people who are going to be all out for him, sold out for him. I can't abide this sort of idea that Christianity is you come and you get peace and joy and forgiveness and a sense of happiness and so on. All of those things are true and important. But it's much, 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 much more than that. It's meant to be a total commitment. Discipleship is putting Jesus before anybody else. Discipleship is putting him first. And the wonderful thing is, if we do that, then those who are close to us get blessed even more. The more I dedicate myself to Jesus, the better Patricia will experience me. So I put God before Patricia, but the more I do that, the better she will be treated. The better she will enjoy her relationship with me, and vice versa. And this goes for all of us. Discipleship is putting him first, being sold out for him. One day we're going to see him in his glory. We're going to fall on our faces at his feet. We need to think about what that means now. To deal with those sinful attitudes and actions, to deal with any half-hearted commitment, and to make sure we're all out for Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. One day he's going to return to this world. Wow. Is that just going to be, oh yes, there's an item on the news. Oh, by the way, Jesus appeared, oh, rubbish. No, of course not. It's going to be absolutely stunning, absolutely amazing, absolutely overpowering when he returns. Or, if we've died before that, then we will see him on a more individual basis. We will see him face to face. I'm looking forward to that. How glorious and wonderful it will be. Yes, we'll fall on our faces, but it won't be in terror. Well, at least if we're trusting in him, it won't. But it'll be in honouring him and worshipping him and glorifying him. So let's look forward to this glorious Lord who was transfigured before those three disciples. That's what he's like now, but we will actually see it with our eyes one day. Father, I pray that for each one of us, we may meditate on these truths. You are all the things, Lord Jesus, that I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon. Of course you are, and that's wonderful. but you're also the glorious transfigured Lord. And if we were to glimpse you just for a second this morning, we'd be flat on our faces in awe. Lord, help us to remember that whereas we haven't seen you like that yet, that's what you are like. And we need to live putting you first, glorifying you, getting rid of out of our lives those things which are dishonoring to you. Help us, we pray, to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.